the flesh of the saints, now resting in hope, will be restored to a better state than that of our first parents before their sin. In the same way, the souls of departed saints do not find death grievous when it has separated them from their bodies, and for this reason that their flesh rests in hope, whatever the insults that flesh may seem to have received after it has been there of sensation. It is not as Plato imagined, though forgetfulness, that they long to have their bodies again. In fact, it is just because they remember the promise of him who never lets anyone down, who gave them the assurance that even the hairs would remain intact. Remembering this, they look for the resurrection of their bodies with patient longing, for though they suffered much hardship in those bodies, they will experience nothing of the kind hereafter. To be sure, if they did not hate their own flesh, when in its weakness it resisted their mental resolve, when they had to discipline it by the law of the Spirit, how much more do they love it now, when it too is to become spiritual? For just as the Spirit is quite appropriately called carnal when it is the servant of the flesh will with equal propriety be called spiritual when it serves the Spirit. This is not because the flesh will be converted into spirit, a notion which some people derive from the scriptural text. It is sown as an animal body, it will arise as a spiritual body. But because it will submit to the Spirit with a ready obedience, an obedience so wonderfully complete that the body will fulfill the will of the Spirit in such a way as to bring perfect assurance of indulgible immortality, free from any feeling of distress and relieved of any possibility of corruption, any trace of reluctance. Not only will the body be different from the body as it is now even when in perfect health, it will not even be such as it was in the first human beings before their sin. For though they would not have been destined to die if they had not sinned, still as human beings they took nourishment, since the bodies they bore were not yet spiritual but animal, still bodies of earth. Those bodies were not indeed growing old and senile, so as to be brought in the end to an inevitable death. This condition was granted to them by the wonderful grace of God, and was derived from the tree of life, which was in the middle of paradise, together with the forbidden tree. For all that they took other kinds of food, except from that one tree which had been banned, not because it was an evil in itself, but in order to emphasize the good of pure and simple obedience, which is the great virtue of a rational creature set under the authority of the Lord, his Creator. For where nothing evil was touched, it is obvious that, if something forbidden was touched, the sin consisted solely in the disobedience. Thus, the purpose of the other foods was to prevent their animal bodies from experiencing any distress through hunger or thirst, whereas the reason for their tasting of the tree of life was to prevent death that might come on them unawares from any source of the death that would come in extreme old age after their lives had run full course. It could be said that other foods served as nourishment, but that from the tree of life was a kind of sacrament. On this interpretation of the tree of life in the material paradise is analogous to the wisdom of God in the spiritual or intellectual paradise, for scripture says of wisdom, it is the tree of life to those who embrace it.